is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. We are live at Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park on a beautiful day. The sun is shining, starting to warm up a little bit, and a beautiful day for baseball. Game two of the season for your Seattle Mariners. Need to correct what I said in the snapshot there. Pre-game starts at 5:30 today instead of 6 o'clock. So I guess 6:40 first pitch instead of 7:10. I was used to 7:10, Dave.
Yeah, so. I can understand that.
So 5:30 for your pre-game show right here, Seattle Sports on 7:10, and we'll take you up to that point. If you guys are coming down to the game, come down to Edgar's Cantina, say hello, have one of their fantastic margaritas, enjoy the weather, the baseball, the crowd, and come celebrate Dave Wyman's birthday. He turns 40 for the 20th time today.
I like the way you put that.
Actually, it's on Sunday, but better to have an early birthday than, oh, happy belated, I forgot.
Yeah,
happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And then Bob also brought Krispy Kreme donuts. So we'll down three or four of those.
I had to wrestle Lefko and say, no, you can't have any until Dave gets here.
Exactly.
Yeah, so thank you, Bob. I really appreciate that, even though it's Dave's birthday.
Yeah, and then I said, Matt, have one of my donuts, please, would you? And he reacted very violently. It was weird. I don't
know. Now, look, it's your birthday, but I'm not going to let you get away with lying today, Dave.
I can do whatever I want on my birthday.
Fine, lie away.
I just like that he said, go ahead, Matt, take one, and you grab one. He goes, but not that one. Oh.
He had to take the maple one.
The one.
There was still a maple one left. You can still have three donuts today, Dave.
Yeah, all right. Well, I've officially become my dad because that's what he used to do all the time. Yeah, here, sure, have one of those. Oh, no, not that one.
After it's in your mouth.
And then Matt cursed at me, and it's just very inappropriate. Yeah. As far as, a happy birthday greeting, I did not blow my skirt up, that's for sure.
Not really a birthday greeting kind of guy, if I'm being honest.
Do you see Matt going over the top? Dave, happy birthday, man.
Yeah, that was
so happy for you.
That would be weird. That would be weird.
No,
I would say, what happened to Matt?
Or what are you planning? I don't trust you.
Right. It'd be too obvious that it was a trap, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it would. You'd say, sorry, buddy, I just can't trust you. That's how it would be. But yes, come down, say hello, celebrate Dave's birthday, celebrate the Mariners. It's game two of 162, so hopefully people didn't get too distraught over last night's game. They didn't win, which is a bummer. You always want to win the opener. Everybody's excited. You got a packed house. You got ceremonies going on. You got the fire. Did you see the guy with the trident?
I did.
What'd you think?
I just imagined him throwing him into the stands. I thought that would be an awesome promo, a giveaway.
I'm guessing it would only last for one night, but yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I just it was funny when I saw fire on the list. I was like, okay, I like that.
That gets everybody excited.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up in the show, we should tell you that John Schneider will join us at 3 o'clock today. That usually happens on Thursday, but it being opening day yesterday, that took precedence. So our conversation with John Schneider, the John Schneider Show, happening at 3 o'clock today. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Our guy John Morosi will join us at 4. You know, he will be bubbling with excitement over the beginning of the baseball season. Bryce Miller should join us somewhere in the 5 o'clock hour. Always, depends on their schedule, their workouts, and all of that stuff. But we talked to him last night in the clubhouse, so he should be out here. And then Mean Text coming up at around 5:15. So you guys have plenty of time to get creative. If you want to take, really extra special shots at Dave today in honor of his birthday, feel free. Just be creative, though. That's all. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. I see Matt going to his phone right now.
Yeah.
He's going, oh, I got some doozies.
I got his number plugged in.
I got some doozies.
I check it every time.
One of the things, just kind of going through last night, Dave, I thought the Nelson Cruz thing was really, really cool. I think it's probably because we love that guy so much. He's just such, you never heard one person say anything negative about the kind of man, the kind of person he is, character-wise. And I thought the first pitch is cool, but to have him sign the one-day contract, the honorary contract to retire as a Mariner, that was awesome.
How long was Nelly here?
So like, was it 4 years?
It felt
go
like,
back and look.
It felt like 10.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I think it was 3 or 4 years, and, you know, he just was ingratiated himself to everybody so much. It's just been, you know, just an awesome thing having him here and just seeing the kind of man that he is, his family. I remember out here talking to him one time about how he can fix trucks.
Yeah.
You know, and at that time, my my Ford pickup truck was on the Fritz. So I was like, could you look at it for me?
That truck used to make some cool noises. Yeah, remember that? I wouldn't feel good about getting on the freeway with that truck.
Get out there and go, Nelson, is this a bad thing? Listen to the truck here for a minute.
I don't think it sounded like this when I bought it.
No. But yeah, he just is just a great guy. And I remember one time I asked him to do translate. It was kind of a joke because I was going to a wedding. One of my nephew-in-law is he's Mexican, and you know, a lot of people in his family speak Spanish. So I was going to do this whole toast in Spanish, and I was like, "Hey, Nelson, can you help me with this?" He goes, "You know, they have Google Translate."
He probably said with a big smile.
But then the next football season, he was raising the 12th man flag, and he comes up to me and goes, "Hey, how did that toast go?"
See,
I'm like, who remembers that? I mean, it's just, he's just an amazing guy, and
absolutely speaks to who he is.
Yeah, so many different ways, but also, you know, really the last DH that you had here.
Yeah,
and it's been a long time, and he was just, and I remember the other thing I loved about him, he loved playing out in the field.
Yeah,
I mean, he wasn't the greatest as far as range at the end of his career, but yeah, he really loved being out there. So yeah, he's just a great guy, great example, and that whole thing with him and Felix was pretty funny.
Yeah, having Felix out there and you know, Nelson spiking the ball. I like that they had him up in the booth with Goldie and Blowers, and they're like, "Was that on purpose?" He goes, "Of course."
You know, like, what do you
come
think
on,
of me?
Man? It's not that long since I've thrown a baseball, but yeah, that was a cool thing to have Felix out there catching the first pitch, and then Felix was up in the booth, and they asked him about it. Yeah, you caught the first pitch. He goes, "No, I didn't. I dropped it."
Yeah, that's right.
It was very, very cool. So that part of it was cool. And then as far as the game goes, I mean, listen, they lost. It's going to happen again. I hate to tell you, somewhere in the season they're going to lose again. But it was a cool night to see a couple of different things. I think we were all watching. Certainly the new guys I was keeping an eye on. And Mitch is an old new guy. He's a guy that left, came back. We talked about how he looked in spring. He picked up right where he left off in spring. He goes opposite field on a night where the ball doesn't carry that well. I know there were a couple of home runs overall, but he goes opposite field with that ball, which, yeah, I thought was a great sign. And he comes up with another hit and a walk. So he's on base three times, 2 for 3 with a walk, a home run, drives in two. That was really cool to see. And you just see the ovation he got during introductions, and then the crowd just went nuts with that home run. That was awesome.
Yeah, and that, we saw him hit a couple like that in spring, and just drove it. And it was really nice to see. And I think, you know, you and I talked about who are the possible all-stars. I think both you and I had him on our list. So yeah, if he can just stay healthy, I mean, that's the whole thing. I was listening to Bump and Stacy today on the way in. They were talking about, you know, the whole, is something just a narrative or is something actually real? And, you know, they were talking about the threat of injury with this team, you know, and, you know, they pretty much decided that it's real. So, you know, that's the one thing with Mitch. You look at, what's the magic number? 157 games, which we don't necessarily need that. But in the two seasons he's done that, you're talking about, what was it, 100 RBIs 1 year? And
the last, his last year here before he came back, he goes 39 home runs, exactly 100 runs driven in.
Yeah.
In 157 games. And it just was a huge part of that run to the playoffs. So very cool to see. And if you guys missed it, here's what that sounded like on radio.
First pitch swung on, hit to right field. Got some carry. O'Neill going back, looking up. Goodbye! Mitch Haniger, hey now, welcome back to Seattle! A two-run homer with two outs here in the fourth, and the Mariners are on the board for the first time here in 2024. It's now 3-2 Boston. Haney with a low line drive screamer out of the ballpark into the lower right field stands.
That was so cool. And then after the game, Scott Servais was asked about how he felt seeing Haniger with coming up with the home run.
I've seen Mitch hit a lot of homers throughout his career. That ball hit the right field tonight. Haven't seen him do that a lot. Most of his home runs through the pool side to left center. He's in a really good spot mechanically with his swing. He feels good. We've got to keep him healthy. He's really important to our lineup and our entire team.
He's big. He's big, to say the very least.
I still feel the need to say, whenever someone says keep him healthy, is just keep him out of harm's way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he is just wears down, and the guy's in great shape. You see the power there, and yeah, that's. I think when we first got him back, I was like, okay, that's cool. Now all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this was a huge get, and hopefully it continues that way. But it's such an easy guy to root for, too.
Oh yeah, just a good dude, and just to see somebody who puts in that work, I just have an appreciation for those guys, whether it comes up with great results or not. We talk about Logan all the time. I love his work ethic. I just, as a fan, I appreciate that so much that, you know, if he goes out there and he gets lit up, I feel bad for him. I'm not mad, because I'm going, this guy works harder than anybody I've ever seen out there. Mitch is that kind of guy as well. You know, he's trying every last workout there is. He's doing everything to be more flexible, more durable, everything he can possibly do to avoid injury. And if it happens, it's not going to be his fault. So
yeah, and that's the thing, when something doesn't work out for him, you're like, well, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So that's what makes him so easy to love.
Yeah, and another guy we were watching out here, Dave, before we got on the air, and going, yeah, this is a guy that doesn't miss a workout. He's friends with weights. That'd be Dylan Moore. If you ever see him without his shirt,
wow,
that dude is jacked up.
Well, and he was out here just walking around with just a t-shirt on and whatever, you know, not in his uniform and all that. And so, is that?
Yeah, that's Luis running the stairs.
Running the stairs there, but yeah, you look at how powerful that kid is, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. I'd say he's probably 190 pounds, but probably all muscle.
Yeah,
all muscle.
Well, and he used all that muscle coming up here in the bottom of the seventh inning with the pinch hit two-run home run.
Pitch swung on, high drive, center field, slicing away. Giddy up, baby! Go! Seventh, Boston. Way to start your 2024 season, big fella.
Not so big, but yeah, he's a guy that's got some pop at times, and we saw last night again on a cold night. You know, it got a little chilly last night, and it's not ideal for the ball carrying, but these guys got it out of the yard. And then Julio, his first plate appearance, I think, was a really good sign. A lot of people excited to see what he's going to look like this season, and he comes up with his first hit of the season, which turns into a double.
Now the windup and the 2-2 pitch. Swinging a line shot down the right field line. It's going to be a fair ball in toward the corner. Watch him run. Julio to second. Up the ball is O'Neill. He will check it at second with a double. O'Neill gets a throw in. Cut off by Valdez, the second baseman. Julio Rodriguez's first hit of the season. A double the other way down the right field line.
So there you go. Some of the other good. You had Polanco and Garver, two of the new guys with a base hit each in their debut, so that was good to see. We saw Cal Raleigh with an infield hit. The speed is unbelievable on Cal. Tell you what, but he comes up.
Stolen bases in spring training. Yeah. Now this?
Yeah, infield hit. He scores a run. I mean, his speed is going to become legend around here. But no, those were the good things that I saw last night. Anything stand out to you that I missed?
No, you know, the one thing, I was looking at Rojas's his warning track shot. I thought that was out, but then you go, oh, that's right.
We're in Marine Seattle. Lair.
The Marine Lair. But, yeah, it was, I thought all those were good. You know, we're going to get to the bad here. I know. I was watching MLB this morning, and with Devers, they were showing a pitch that he threw I think the first time that he faced him, and it was a swing and miss, and looked like a really good pitch. He threw pretty much that exact same pitch that Devers put over the fence. So it was just timing by him, and obviously he's a great player. But yeah, that was one of the first things I woke up to this morning, and I'm like, wow. I mean, he entirely whiffed on it the first time, and then he caught up to it.
Yeah, the one he hit out kind of leaked back over the plate, and he did. Castillo wasn't sharp last night. I mean, he had his moments, but he wasn't getting the first pitch strikes that you like to see. He didn't, you know, we talked about at least early in the season, hopefully the starters can get you through six, maybe even seven, to get greedy and just take some of the heat off a bullpen that's missing a few arms that you're going to count on. But he goes five, gives up six hits, four runs. We talked about his propensity to give up the home runs here and there, and he did last night. Two walks. five strikeouts, 91 pitches. So not quite the efficiency you were looking for. Didn't have the command, and he talked about it after the game, sort of acknowledging, you know, yeah, some of these pitches weren't doing what I wanted them to do, and it's night one. It's night one, so that part of it. The bullpen, I thought, wasn't terrible, but wasn't awesome shutdown either. They combined for four innings. They gave up two runs on five hits, although there was some defense that you could question in there. But, you know, we'll see how the bullpen looks initially without those arms that we're counting on in Brash and Santos, and see some of these other guys step up. But I think some of the fears that we had going into the season came to light, at least in this game, for some people at third base. You had both guys. You had Rojas and Urias out there playing, and they both had a gaffe at third base. You had Rojas bouncing the ball off the runner's head, which was a tough throw. I mean, he fielded the ball, and his momentum was carrying him over third base into foul territory, and he's kind of throwing it as he's moving off balance. He threw it right in line, but he pegged the runner directly in the helmet, and that goes down as an error. So that's a gaffe. And then Urias, I don't know what happened on that play. He fields a ball at third base. There are two outs, and the runner was charging toward third and just kind of slammed on the brakes and literally was like a step and a half in front of him off balance. Like, if he wanted to, he could have taken a step and a half and tagged him into the inning. Instead, he kind of double clutches, throws to first. Trevor Story, upon review, beats it out. So he doesn't record either out. It was just kind of a weird, I don't know if he lost track of how many outs there were or what happened on that play.
Yeah, that was a weird one, because you're right. I mean, I feel like he could have just leaned over and touched him. Maybe it would have been a step and a half, but the guy had no momentum going back towards second base, so he stopped. And yeah, that was strange. That was a weird one.
Yeah,
the throw home for Rojas. I mean, first of all, I think if you hit a base runner in the head, he should be out. I mean, if you peg him in the back or the butt or the leg, that's different. But if you're able to hit him in the head,
points.
It's a really good throw.
You're on the mark. Yeah, that was so you had those two spots, those two moments happen at third base, which we were sort of, you know, going into the season questioning the defense. You lose with Gino. You had the defense forever with Kyle. Yeah. We'll see how it looks out there. Last night, not awesome. And then left field, you know, the ball gets hit down the left field line, and Canzone's in pursuit of it. And it looks like he was sort of getting ready to play the carom of the ball. Like he was, you know, he wasn't going to charge right in the wall and have it bounce past him. But it didn't carom. And then he didn't have the urgency I wish he would have had. It kind of reminded me of Teoscar last year. And ultimately, because there wasn't that urgency, it turns into a triple. Dude stretches it into third, and they just miss him on the relay from JP Crawford. Maybe just a little bit more oomph on his part, and they get him at third. But
yeah,
that wasn't awesome either.
No, it wasn't awesome. You're right. I mean, it wasn't like it was the worst play in the world, but it just did seem like, yeah, a little bit of urgency there, but. Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good in spring. I remember we were sitting there, and you were commenting on that down at spring training about how it just looks like he's taking very direct paths. And that one, I mean, I don't know what they're told as far as, you know, the carom off of this little tricky little left field corner here. But yeah, those were three things that stood out. And, you know, that one I thought was okay, yeah, it was a mistake. He definitely would, you know, want to fine tune that. The throw home that hits the base runner in the helmet, it didn't really bother me that much. And you saw his reaction too. He's like, no.
He's like, I should get points for that. But it's a great throw.
Yeah, but the Urias one really stood out.
That was odd. And then Service after the game quickly just talked about a couple things they need to fix defensively.
Ball down left field corner, but it turned into a triple, and you know, Urias didn't get rid of the ball. Story is running really well down the line, and, you know, you got to have that internal clock set right, and, you know, both came back and got a big out after it. But little plays like that, you know, we certainly need to tighten up.
Yeah, so listen, it's one game. Hopefully these are things that all those three of those guys are going to be looking in the film going, oh, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that happen again. So not going to overreact to it, but just observations from night one of the season. So we'll talk more about that. But right now, let's take two.
They had to wait an extra day, so maybe it increased the hostilities, because benches cleared in the eighth between the Mets and Brewers after Rhys Hoskins took down Mets second baseman Jeff McNeil with a hard slide to break up a potential double play. And in classic baseball fashion, they all came out and then stood there and kind of yelled at each other.
A lot of puffed up chests.
Not much fighting happening.
A lot of tough guy words and no punches thrown.
Ryan Roland Smith cowering in the bathroom.
Let me out of here.
We need to reenact that.
I really hope he's listening right now.
Trapped in the bathroom.
Did you see him on route looking all sharp? He's all dudded up and everything?
No, I didn't see him. I didn't see him up in the press box either. He must have been hanging out down here.
No, he's big time now.
Yeah, he doesn't hang out with the common unwashed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I could picture him hitting the door. Hey, is there a fight? Is there a fight? You guys need me?
It is so weird, though, that the bullpens and everything, like Mike just described, it's just very... That's a strange tradition. They need to fix that.
You think they should just go after each other the second they leave the bullpens?
Yeah, like the Players Association should get together and say, look, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves
when
it comes to fights.
You're right. They run side by side the entire way and then get into the action and all stand around.
Yeah. Do you think they're calling it like, all right, man, I got you. You got him.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, let's just square up. Let's get a matchup, you know? All right, we don't want to put, like, Jose Altuve on Judge or anything like that. But, yeah, you try to get him get the right matchup and just throw down right there. Instead of, that way, you know, you save the run all the way to the pitcher's mound.
There you have it. Dave Wyman's ideas for fighting in baseball. Could take hold. Put it in the next
I'm going to fine-tune it over the weekend, Mike.
That's what the lockout's going to be, the next baseball lockout. They can't agree on how to fight. Yeah. But yesterday, it was a day of upsets. The Sweet 16 continues today with four games. In the early slate is Marquette, NC State at 4:09, and a big one in this state, Purdue Gonzaga at 4:39.
That's a bit at which point we will lose Mike Lefko for the remainder of the show. He'll be completely focused, even though his bracket... It's over.
That's all I have left is Purdue, because my bracket is shot.
Your champ went down last night.
Yeah, it was. You should have seen me in the press box last night.
Who was your champ?
North Carolina.
Yeah.
I was down in the suite talking to our salespeople. I go, right now, Mike Lefko's driving everybody around him nuts in the press box because his team just went down, and I'm guessing everybody around him knows about it.
So. No, because you can't cheer, so it was more of the pacing kind of, you know, while in your seat. So no audible frustration, but more of just the, you know, maneuvering and sighs and moans.
I like Purdue, man. I really do. They've got some good young players. They've got a guy whose dad played in the NFL. I mean, it's an interesting team.
You like them because they have a Bond villain.
Yeah, the Bond villain is awesome. He really is. He's a great player. And, you know, when we were talking to Tim Brando about it, he was really excited about him too. But I saw him run the floor a couple of times, and I'm like, wow, that guy does not look like he is 7'5". What is he, 300 pounds?
I guess. I don't even know.
He just hustled. We know our guy, Tim Brando. Doesn't like the NBA because of that.
Yeah.
the lack of hustle.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife prostate. Coming up, the NFL world descended on Seattle yesterday and came away impressed with a handful of UW players. We're going to get into that next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. Mariners taking on the Red Sox game two of the series, four-game series. Happens tonight. We'll turn you over to the pregame show at 5:30 right here on Seattle Sports. We saw some news. I saw this article and some highlights. They were showing some video clips of UW's pro day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading the story, saying the story, and you know, they're just raving about Michael Penix. They're raving about his 40.
Yeah.
Ran like a 4.6 40, and he was saying, well, I think I'm more of a 4.4 guy, but you know, whatever.
Well, but I thought it said somewhere earlier he'd ran like a 4.54.
Yeah, like that, so. Yeah. I mean, I think he's decidedly faster than anybody thought.
Right.
And then they said he ended the workout throwing the ball like 75 yards in the air or something. Basically, he just dazzled again like he did at the combine. And I'm looking at this, reading the review and all that, just going, at what point does that translate to, and I guess I'm relying on the mock drafters, the people that are putting all those together to follow suit, but J.J. McCarthy is like he's number one with a bullet. He's flying up the charts, you know, as they would say in the music business. But I don't know that he's had any moments since his college season ended that have equaled what Penix has had, whether it's just been how he was being raved about at the combine and then his pro day as well. And it's for odd reasons, it doesn't seem to translate for Penix the way that it does for McCarthy doing what is presumably less.
Yeah, I think the only thing more telling when they do their evaluations, the NFL, than, you know, actually watching an entire game is being there, you know, and seeing, like, how does this guy operate? And that might be part of it. You know, that was one of the reasons why John loved Russell Wilson. He went down to the Rose Bowl. And I think they were playing Oregon, and just his command of the offense and, you know, his leadership and all that stuff. So I think that's where all that's coming from. And I think, you know, like I said yesterday, there are some of these guys that can make just ridiculous throws and running around and everything. And then you look at a J.J. McCarthy guy who just excels at executing the offense.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there's going to be, look, there's six quarterbacks that we've been talking about, right? There's going to be three or maybe even four that don't make it. And it's pretty, I think this is going to be a weird draft just because there are six quarterbacks. And if you look at down the road, like I was looking at mock drafts for 25 and 26, there's not many quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This is the year for the quarterback. So, you know, if the 49ers, as good as they put together a roster, you know, they get tripped up by Trey Lance and they gave away a bunch of draft capital to make that pick, I think there's going to be some big mistakes. But with Michael Penix, man, he is a very solid guy. I remember John, we talked to him about it yesterday, and well, we'll hear it today. But he, you know, he was talking about how he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And to me, I always go back to that Texas game. He made so many off schedule, which is going to happen in the NFL, man. I mean, the pass rush is for real. And so if you're able to make flat footed throws or on the run, and he made all of those throws. I got my left hand up, Bob.
Yeah. You look just
lefty.
Like him.
Yeah, I can't throw lefty. But he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a pleasant surprise, but it is kind of what you've been talking about this entire time is kind of curious. And I think a lot of it has to do with the hype around quarterback and that this is the last year for a while where you're going to see, you know, six guys that could possibly get drafted in the first round.
Yeah. Field Yates was there and talked about just being impressed with how well Penix was able to run.
I did not think that Michael Penix Jr. would run a sub-4.640. Now, everybody has their own stopwatch here at the Washington Pro Day, but amongst the cluster of scouts that I was in, it was a lot of 4.6s to 4.59s for Michael Penix Jr. on top of a 36.5-inch vertical jump. And obviously, when you have the offensive weapons that Washington has had in place during his tenure here in Seattle, you don't need him to run the football all that much, but he sort of showed NFL teams that if called upon to scramble a bit more, or maybe on an occasion designed run, he has more capacity to do so than we might have realized by just watching his film over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, just whether you're following on social media or just seeing some of the TV interviews, just people raving about him. And then Michael Penix himself, he was speaking with Molly McGrath, and he was asked what he wants teams to know about him.
I don't know where they think my, you know, football smarts is, you know, but I just hope that they, I just want to show them that, you know, I can do it all. You know, as far as learning a playbook, you know I get questions about you haven't been under the center a lot. How do you feel about that? You know, just show that I'm comfortable doing that, you know, comfortable calling plays in the huddle, stuff like that, you know. So just showing those type of things, you know, that, you know, I possibly couldn't show within, you know, these last couple seasons. So
he's just, I'm rooting for this kid so much. I really am. Not because he was a Husky, but we did have a chance to sit down and speak with him, and he just seems like such a quality guy. And he, everything you pointed about what he does on the field. I mean, he's, you know, leading the nation in passing and in doing it. You know, he's not in some Division II small school, you know, beating up on Sisters of the Poor. This is a guy who's doing it at the highest level of college football, putting up those kind of numbers. Yeah, he had weapons and he's got an O-line and all that, but I don't know. The talent is there. And I was reading this and looking at some of the clips going, I wonder if there's going to be, you know, a couple years down the road, depending on where he's drafted, you know, whether it's first round, second round, there are going to be some teams going, damn, we missed. We missed on that. I just wonder if he's going to be a regret for some teams out there.
Yeah, or, you know, typically the NFL gets it right, you know, and if it's, he's a guy that everybody stays away from, I think the main thing would be his medical situation, but that seemed to be okay when they checked it out. But, you know, another guy, Bo Nix, I marvel over both of these guys' numbers, because when you look at Penix, I think he led the entire country as far as yardage goes, 4,900. But, you know, he's 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Bo Nix threw 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And the guy was only sacked 5 times. So, you know, that, and that's another thing. Like, how does he handle pressure? You know, how does he handle, how tough is he? And, you know, that might be actually a discount against Bo Nix that he wasn't sacked that much. I mean, we don't really know what he can endure. But, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting, as far as quarterbacks go. And I wonder if, you know, teams panic. You know, it could be like the, probably the least likely, but one scenario is that everybody just like starts taking them and they're gone by, you get to like pick 10, pick 12, and all 6 of them are gone because everybody panics about, you know, getting a quarterback.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen. Maybe I'll be curious, does this, you know, maybe some of his interviews when teams get a chance to get a sense of his personality and his football IQ and all of that, how much does that change, you know, where he's being predicted to go at this point? I mean, he's just kind of the one outlier from the group, as we've talked about. It seems set in stone. It's going to be Caleb Williams 1, and then it's either May Daniels or Daniels May 2 or 3. We'll see how that plays out. There's been zero conversation about either of those guys, which I still find odd. And then McCarthy seems to be just getting better and better and better when he hasn't been doing anything, really. So he keeps going, moving up the charts, so to speak. And then we'll see if that happens for Bo Nix or Penix. I mean, I just feel like there's maybe some of the, maybe Daniels or May are going to wash out, and people are going to be looking at where Penix and Bo Nix get drafted and go, boy, they screwed that up.
Yeah.
You know, because we see it every year. I mean, we're talking about these guys. You know, Justin Fields just gets traded. Zach Wilson was a bust. Trey Lance was a bust. Mitch Trubisky was a bust. And these are all guys that teams have moved up to get. These are all guys that people in some cases have given up a ton of draft capital just to be in a position to get them. And now they're on different teams and they're backups and they're just kind of cast off.
So how many of these guys, the 6 guys, how many do you predict will be like a Zach Wilson that either gets traded? I mean, it's still not played out for him entirely, right? But, you know, him, Trey Lance, I mean, how many of these 6 do you think are going to be? I'm going to say at least half of them.
I was just going to say 3.
Yeah.
3. And then maybe 1 becomes a superstar. Maybe it won't be the one you think. Maybe it's not Caleb Williams. Maybe it'll be May. Or you know, who knows? But and then maybe the other 2 of the 3 that we say make it, maybe 1 becomes a superstar and the others become, they're not bad. They're serviceable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting, it'll be an interesting year either way. I mean, I'm very excited to see, anticipating a good season from Geno, and then also just to see what Sam Howell's all about. That was kind of a curious deal they gave up draft capital for, and I think that's going to be interesting to see how he plays in the preseason.
All right, coming up, opening day left us with a few things that were bugging us. We'll get into all of that. What's Bugging Bob coming up next? We are live at Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
What's Bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's Bugging Bob.
What's Bugging Bob, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. A reminder, coming up at 3 o'clock, the John Schneider Show. So stick around for our conversation with the president of football operations for your Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider. That'll be coming up at 3 o'clock. But as is the custom when we talk about what's bugging us, we start with our champion complainer, the great Matt Nelson.
If you can count on me for one thing, it's being really complainy about stuff.
Complainy. You're very complainy.
You know, it's hard to complain on such a great day. You know, happy birthday, Dave Wyman. We're all just so thrilled to be out here at Edgar's for the occasion. Everyone's going to be lining up to give you gifts today. Oh,
you're
just
right.
Can't
that,
wait.
That does sound awkward.
Are you through?
I'm done.
Okay.
Dave's looking at the ground like, ugh.
We know that this is the most insincere thing that will be said on this show.
Oh, darn. I thought it was doing pretty good.
Yeah, you didn't sell it quite the way you thought. Outside outside of all of the joy you feel for Dave in his birthday, what's on your mind? What's bugging you today?
Unfortunately, tragedy did befall me today, even on such a day. I got a big old scratch on my watch.
Oh,
you want to know how I did it?
Yeah.
I was being a klutz. I was carrying those massive crates down here, and I wasn't really paying attention where I was going, and I just scraped it along the railing right up there.
No.
And I'm really disappointed.
It's gonna bug you every time you look at your watch.
And
now,
the worst part is the way I have my watch face set up, it's like right above where the time is. So every time I look at it, it's just gonna drive me bonkers.
You're gonna have to get a new one.
I think so. Yeah.
I for one will be losing sleep tonight. Man. a scratch on your watch.
I can relate to that though, because I that would make me crazy. I'm OCD about that kind of thing. Like if there's a scratch on my sunglasses or a laptop or a phone case, my eyes automatically go to that spot.
Every time I look at it, it's just going to be the only thing I can see.
Gosh, it's just awful.
You're going to have to buy a new one.
Speaking of insincere, I'm so sorry, Matt.
The sincerity between the two of you is just really, really...
Bob's the buffer.
Yeah, it's really, I can feel the authenticity between the two of you.
Yeah, we don't usually do this so close together.
Honestly, this is the thing that's really bugging me. I'm like in the wrong part of the setup. I'm supposed to be where all the nerds sit with the cords, and I'm over here with a headset on. It just feels wrong. I don't like
it. You feel like a guest of the show?
Yeah, and I don't know how people
I'll tell you what, it also looks wrong and sounds wrong.
I think everyone agrees with you there, Dave.
All right, good luck in your search for a new watch.
I have to go back to my chair.
Go back to your nerd chair.
I have to go back to the nerd chair. Bye.
Nerd chair. He's going to put tape between his glasses, in the nose of his glasses there, just a true nerd. There you go. There's Matt Nelson. What about you, Lefko?
I mean, come on. I think it's the thing that bothered all of us yesterday. Just the cluelessness of most of society when we were set up and, people were just walking through our space.
At halfback.
Yeah, great crowd. Appreciate everyone coming out and listening. There were a lot of people listening, and it's fine when they come up after the break or after the segment when we're in break and we clearly have headsets off.
Yeah.
But when we're here with headsets on, probably don't go rushing through and come try to talk to you guys. So I had to like steer a guy away. He came barreling in and I had to almost like hold him back. And then people were just casually passing through all afternoon. Like, here's some open space. Maybe I should walk through here. No, there's a reason why this is open space in a very, very crowded bar restaurant area, because everyone else is back behind where you have to be. And how about the one lady? Can we get into this lady?
Which one?
The woman who, sure, if you just cross, okay. You know, you screwed up, but at least you cross, and you're done. You moved on. One lady, just blissfully unaware of what's happening to anyone else around her, she tries to walk through. She stops in the middle of the camera. It's like, do I want to go this way? No. Oh, I should go that way? Okay. It stands there for 5 more seconds, and then cuts back and across in front of the camera. And I guarantee you she had no idea there was a camera right in front of her.
That seemed clear.
Cluelessly unaware of anything else happening.
You know, this is all a bunch of fluff from Lefko right now, because really what he is really irritated about is his anticipation for his Purdue Boilermakers, that you know that they're going to do something to piss you off today. And that's why all of the histrionics about people walking in front of the
camera. Think this is his anxiety coming out here?
It's exactly what's going on.
I actually thought you were going to go with your bracket, with UConn losing or North Carolina using.
That bugged me yesterday, and now it's passed. You know, it was chaos. They deserved it. They were so terrible. But yeah, so here's the thing also, that it's beyond just my bracket, because I do this thing with a bunch of friends, an eliminator pool, and there's like 200 people in it. So you can only pick one team each round, and you cannot repeat.
Right.
So on the first 2 days, because there's so many, you have to get two teams right, and then you can move on to the next round. You have to get two more teams right. You can never use those teams again.
Right.
So I perfectly managed it that, hey, I had UConn saved till almost the end. I was thinking I could have UConn saved till at least the Elite Eight or the Final Four. So I picked North Carolina yesterday, in addition to having them win my bracket. And then you watch R.J. Davis, their 50-year point guard, go 0-for-9 from 3. and they just played the dumbest game in the second half. So, yeah, I guess that's bugging me today as still, well. It's still bugging
seems
me.
Seems to still
right.
be bothering
yeah,
me.
It's still bothering me. Especially because Alabama just plays such a chaotic style of basketball, and North Carolina got sucked into it. Yeah. So much talent, and they lost.
There you go.
I think if Lefko got every single pick right, he'd still be complaining.
There'd be something you'd be mad about.
No, you'll like. Do you want a quick bracket update? Now, it doesn't really matter because you have a ton of games still left, so I usually don't give a formal update until after the weekend's done. But in very much last place, Matt Nelson over there, who actually Creighton still Barrel. Can win. He can Creighton still win Barrel. If Gonzaga wins at all. So Matt is in better shape. That. So Matt's in last right now, but he can still win. The people that are just straight up eliminated, Darren, Kyle Brown, and me. Oh, and Mora, because our champs all lost.
Oh.
So Mora, we're like, we're Mora's in last,
always in
last.
The, always in the mix. Like, she was in the mix. Didn't she win the
fantasy
playoff?
No, she's not in the mix.
She's
one.
Out.
Yeah,
she's not
very
in
much
the mix.
Out. Yeah, okay. But in super last are, you know, Darren, super Kyle, last. Myself, and Matt's still alive.
Matt,
even he is the fewest
Matt
correct.
Is actually in a better position than our basketball savant here.
Creighton Barrel's going to surprise you.
They play tonight, too. Creighton plays tonight.
Who's Ooh, your they champ? Do. Yeah. Are they your champ?
No, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's my
Gonzaga.
Champ.
Okay.
Which makes the title even more confusing.
Goodness. All right.
It'll surprise you.
Anyone
who comes behind me, though, should probably be fired. Because, I mean,
Ooh.
I was picking at random. That's embarrassing.
And you know how closely he pays attention to sports.
Exactly. Sometimes that's the best way to go, though.
Yeah.
You don't know anything. You do well.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I got
You're good?
I show up to work, and Bob brought me donuts. I mean,
and the sun is shining, and it's baseball.
I'm a simple man.
Donuts is that's the way to Dave's heart.
Yeah,
sugared fried dough.
We're out here working in the sun. Got the Mariners going right now. I know they lost last night. It was a little bit of a bummer, but man, I am so excited for this team. So now I'm all good, man.
All right. I'm still dealing with T-Mobile and trying to get the MLB TV. I was pointing to Lefko in the press box because they had on the big screen here huge advertisements for sign up for T-Mobile and you'll get MLB TV for free. Huge advertisements all over the park, and we tried it right there at the same time and I got denied again.
You know what? The good thing for you, though, is when something goes wrong in that regard, it's usually not ever fixed. Whereas for me, they're like, they push one button and go, there you go. So at least you, for the right reasons.
I think I prefer that now. If somebody could go, here, donkey, do that, and it works, I'd
you'd
be
rather,
like.
You'd rather be that guy?
I'll go ahead and be the donkey if it gets this whole thing rectified.
Because that's me, pretty much. So you're describing it.
So, yeah, we'll see if T-Mobile calls me back. They said within 72 hours, so they're now under 24 hours left in that promise. So we'll see if that happens. Meanwhile, it's a day later than normal, but the conversation is still there for you. You don't want to miss our conversation with Seahawks President of Football Operations John Schneider. That is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina. This is Seattle Sports on 710.